who were asking New Yorkers about a particular candidate. So if they said, okay, this person's running against this other candidate, and they said, well, this guy is getting AIPAC money, that was a disadvantage in the race by a magnificent percentage. Like, that is a new norm. That is a new norm. Candidates killed it. Mamdani, his selections, let me ask you this. Do you think it's Mamdani and his coattails? Do you think something else? Do you think it's just political climate? Do you think it's a perfect storm? I mean, you're there. What do you think of the main
perfect storm? Mamdani has coattails for sure. Because he's a fresh face. He only took office January 1st of this year. He hasn't even been in there for 6 months. So he's still when New Yorkers who are in a hurry are like, oh, who should I vote for? And if they like Mamdani and they were fans of his endorsement at this point, there still hasn't been one giant blizzard where the snowplow didn't show up at your house yet. So he's still popular, and people are definitely going to follow his advice. But also, there's a general very anti-AIPAC, anti-Zionist tone in the Jewish community in New York City, which is the largest community of Jews in the world outside of the state of Israel. A lot of liberal Jews are sick and fucking tired of being tarnished with the Zionist label by AIPAC and people like that who are trying to say, like, to be Jewish is to be pro-genocide. That's bullshit. The biggest opponents of the genocide have been the Not In Our Name Jewish Voice for Peace and other protesters. So they've been the loudest, they've been the biggest, they've been the most strident. So this was their chance to express themselves. I think that was a huge thing. Also, there's the rent is too damn high, and people are pissed at the wealthy, and they don't like it's not even the fact that they are rich, it's the way that the rich act. They're insulating themselves. It used to be in New York City, everyone from the super poor to the billionaires rode the subway. You couldn't really hide. Even if you were a billionaire, you had roaches and rats in your apartment because it was New York. That's just not true anymore. These people have really insulated themselves in a way that just didn't used to be the same thing. And the way they talk, like, oh, we create the jobs, you should be grateful for us. No New Yorker thinks that. Every New Yorker who's not a billionaire says, leave, we don't care about you. Go, go, go. You're not making our lives any better, you're making it worse. So it's a lot of stuff. But I think it's really important for us to talk about left-wing populism, because it doesn't get the coverage that, Trump and MAGA and right-wing populism get, which they need that, they deserve that coverage. I mean, the dudes, they got the presidency twice. But this is a big deal. It's a AIPAC is crowing about some races they won out in the hinterlands in flyover country, but they were going to win those anyway. They're losing they're not as powerful as they used to be. The tide is running out. And if they're not that powerful, then they can't instill fear. And if they can't instill fear, then you're going to see more independent people standing up and speaking out against Israel and against Zionist policies. I guarantee you right now as we speak, it's 9 o'clock in the morning at AIPAC headquarters in Washington, D.C., which may or may not be on K Street. They are meeting and they're saying, okay, where do we go from here? What do we do about it? We have a crisis on our hands.
If it bleeds, we can kill it, as said and by some famous person. I think it was Arnold Schwarzenegger in Predator. No, you're absolutely right. If the moment that you could show that this is a fallible entity and that running against that entity works, mm-hmm. then people, by definition, will run against that entity as a pathway to political power. Now, obviously, AIPAC is going to take issue with this, and they're probably going to start putting money into other groups without the name of AIPAC in order to try to get that money to candidates, in order to get political control of those candidates in Congress. But let's be very clear, it's a wounded entity that is weak, especially if you're talking about in key democratic contingencies, right? Even, I would argue, in Republican districts and things, they would take issue with this idea that the Trump administration is functioning at the behest of a foreign power in the way that it comes across and the way that it's discussed. So Even among Republicans, the tide has changed in regards to the way they see Israel as, you know, you guys have been killing babies. Why is that okay? And why should a political entity or any political entity or individual support an entity that is effectively doing that and defending that policy? So, no, I agree with you. I guess the question is this a sea change in regards to, let's say, Democratic politics going forward, even among liberals that can see the writing on the wall regarding AIPAC? I hope people do run against it. I hope Mondani has shown the pathway. Because, you know, sometimes you can be scared off if something is a political orthodoxy until you challenge the orthodoxy and find that the orthodoxy is standing there with no clothes on. Hopefully, this is a new norm, not a flash in the pan.
All right. So I want to also point out, just as one of the, and before we take some of the comments and questions here, the district, Brad Lander, who ran for mayor initially against Zahran Mamdani, dropped out and endorsed him and campaigned in a very, like, sort of father-son kind of way, very cute. Like, he's twice, you know, Zahran's age. But they had a cute bromance. Those guys, Brad Lander was endorsed by Zahran. He's not technically a member of the Democratic Socialist Organizing group, but he was endorsed by Mamdani. He basically is a socialist, and he carried a district that encompasses all of Lower Manhattan, aka the capital of American finance, includes all of Wall Street, all the people who live near Wall Street, near Battery Park City, and also a lot of really wealthy people who live in Soho, Tribeca, the West and East Village. These are all rich New Yorkers. And that district jumps across New York Harbor over to big swaths of Brooklyn, including Williamsburg and East Williamsburg and Greenpoint, that are predominantly Orthodox Jewish. So it is stunning.
Not that my name.
That is a major rebuke to AIPAC. I mean, is AIPAC dead and done? Sadly, no. But the point is, they're wounded.
You know, I suspect Jews in New York feel like I do about the Iran war. Like, Trump is doing this in the name of America, quote unquote.
Right.
And even the murdering of the fishermen, that was being done in the name of America. Whereas I look at this and think to myself, this is humiliating and shameful as an American watching the president act like this and act like this in our name with our tax dollars. And I guess if you're Jewish, you probably feel the same way. You don't want that stain on you that they're effectively putting on you by claiming, you know, we represent all of Judaism. We're a Jewish state, and Zionism and Judaism are somehow really very similar, if not the same thing. And criticizing one means you criticize the other. Yeah, I don't blame them for that. God bless them for that.
Yeah,
God bless them for it.